There we go. There's my cue. This is Luca Mino. How are we doing today on a beautiful Saturday? It's beautiful over here. We haven't had rain for over 10 days, but it's still beautiful. This is Luca's World. Back again. Glad to be here for another installment. And my main monitor fried. So I'm here with my secondary monitor with my iPhone open and my iPad open, and everybody's trying to fill in for somebody that went down. It's too bad, but that's the way things go, and it's fine. We got to start thinking of downsizing anyway, right? And the way we do things. I just wanted to start with my disclaimer, like I always do. When someone came up to Socrates that one day and said, "Man, have I ever got a story to tell you about your friend?" And puts his arm up and he says, "No, hang on." Basically, he says that if it's not true to the best of your ability, which that story wasn't, and if it's not necessary or good, why bother tell anybody, right? So that guy learned a good lesson that day, and I thought I would kind of assume that, you know, that disclaimer for my show. And I got that idea from Cody, my friend who was a whistleblower for the Oklahoma City bombing. And he starts it by using a disclaimer because he worked with the CIA. And we know that story for the people who checked out my episode on that. We'll be talking about that, too, today a little bit. I want to start with Snoopy, though. Snoopy's sitting there leaning against his house, his doghouse, and I'm going through my timeline, right? And it says, you know, he's got his glasses on, Joe Cool, right? And he says, "Lord, give me coffee to change the things I can and music to accept the things I can't." And I said to myself, no, I'm going to change that last line. And give me RBN to accept the things that are going to take a little harder or a little longer to change, right? And it's time for dialogue, right? And it's time to educate and get angry. And I heard the word militia thrown around a couple of times. Fine. Great. Whatever people think they should be doing, they are going to do. And today I'm here. And what are we, the 10th today? Mm-hmm. So I would like to cover 9/11, but not in the way people might think. And I want to remind people also the lines are open after my intro, 512-248-8252, and the 1-800 number, 1-800-313-9443. And as always, due to lack of time and number of callers, please stay on topic and think of others when calling and try and be brief as possible and to the point as possible. And I appreciate it. First thing of importance in the show would be the 9/11 Commission book, shot four times through it, floating around in the harbor somewhere. And the meme says, the 9/11 Commission report is only good for one thing and one thing only, target practice. So welcome to Luca's World. Going through my timeline just to get a little grip on what's going on here. In 1963, the Bronx Zoo had an exhibit called The Most Dangerous Animal in the World. And it was a mirror. These are the kind of things that wouldn't stand a chance on social media. And this is why we keep telling everybody, go to tlbtalk.com, join us. Join tlbtalk.com and, you know, you have your space like I do. I pay $20 a month. Right from the budget, and it's great that way, you know, less than a dollar a day, and you have the, you know, your space that you have, it's for you, it's who you are, and it's also, wow, how many pictures do I have? Three, at last count is 3,470, I think it was, something like that. It kind of molds who you are. You really find out who you are. And the meme I thought of putting up this morning, it says, if government and media are lying to us about 9/11, it means they're being controlled by the same people who carried out 9/11. And I'm going to talk about 9/11 in ways that most people aren't used to hearing, which is a good thing, I think. But first, I want to start with Dave Jones, who really puts things into perspective, as I like saying. And it really is. It's perspective. That's what I love about RBN. Everybody, every show host has their perspective and or their spin, whatever you want to call it, right? The geoengineering kill switch has been activated for the entire planet. The entire planet is deliberately being plunged into a global famine nightmare achieved via geoengineering programs carried out by world governments trying to achieve their global depopulation agenda. The simultaneous droughts, the floods, the freak weather events we are observing right now across the globe are not natural weather events, warns Dane Wigington. They are engineered weapons being deployed against humanity under cover of climate change. Okay? So that's what he gets into. And I kind of wanted to throw that out there because this is what they're doing. They're destroying us from all sides. And, you know, most of us know it, but we're not really doing anything. You know, I'm doing the best that I can. I mean, I have a urine bag on me for the rest of my life. I'm kind of disabled still for the time being, but on my two radio shows, I am trying to get out there and tell people what's going on. And it's important to dialogue. It's important not to have that ego on your, you know, on the chin up, like they say, when the holes in your nose are so big. So we got to really learn how to go inside and how to take it from the inside and not take it from ego and the outside and defensive. And no, people should be able to call on this show and speak polar opposite of what I'm saying. And that's fine. You know, thank you for sharing. Great. Have a nice day. So today, yes, it's going to be 9/11, but it's going to be OKC as well, the Oklahoma City bombing, the false flags, worldwide events, and going back to 1897. And as I always say, in order to understand 9/11, you really have to, you know, as an event, you really have to go back and visit and get a new perspective of Hitler's Germany and what it was through Zionist eyes, as we expose, or as I expose, Churchill, Ike, and the like. And, you know, the other side of the proverbial coin, because that's what we need to hear. Stuff that's been hidden from us. From 9/11 itself to the indoctrination of the children through state-funded education programs to keep the lies alive and well. What's so crucial for me to understand, and this is very complicated to explain, I'm not even sure why I brought this up, but anyway, it's such a big morsel to swallow or to chew, right? Because if you don't chew it properly, you might asphyxiate yourself, which is something that almost happened to me twice when it gets stuck in the throat. And you're going, okay, I get it, you know. It's about, you know, what to do with 9/11. It's such a huge event. And it was, as we're going to see today, I mean, I've traced it back to the 70s. And so when I was, you know, growing up, I was taught about compartmentalizing. And this is what I want to get at. It doesn't matter, you know, if they use shape charges or if there was, you know, nuclear devices or, you know, no nukes, right? Or if there was, you know, the world, you know, EPs or whatever they're called from space, you know. It's all conjecture and it's all hearsay. It's all conspiracy. Stay with what you can prove, I was told. Stay with what you can prove, okay? And go from there. And I had really good teachers, and one of them I'm going to talk about today, which is Christopher Bolin. I did a good show with him on 9/11. He was, you know, I was lucky enough to have him for, at that time, it was Learn to Unlearn, which is my other show. And he taught me what I needed to know about 9/11. Okay, that's all you need to know. Okay, fine. Great. You know, the Oklahoma City bombing was another one. The Oklahoma City bombing was basically a warm-up. It was a test run for 9/11. So let me get back to where I was as a child. My father would come in with a poster size, white poster. Poster size, like you put in the window. And he would put it on the floor, and everybody would gather around. And he'd put one piece of paper in the middle with something written on it, in this case, Travels, 1974. And then he would take black tape and he'd go from the middle to one side and then go, oh, you know, who's got an idea for this? And before you knew it, it was like an octopus with all kinds of different black tape pieces going out from the center with different things like hotels or restaurants or, you know, little towns that, that we visited. And this is how I learned how to compartmentalize. So what I'm seeing today is like a crime scene. It's crime scene pathology or forensics, right? Literally. And we have to follow this stuff. And, you know, I followed it for 20 years, plus doing my part with whatever I can, you know, to be sharing what I know to be true to the best of my ability and verifiable also. So it's like this is the stuff that resonates with me. Okay. And it's hard to share because you're by yourself in all of this. But, you know, in Indian tradition, way back, it was like absolutely essential. Everybody in the tribe knew what they had to do. Everybody was as important as everybody else. Nobody had this existential problem, you know, do I exist or what am I good for? Everybody knew who they were. Everybody was a color, I like to say it. And everybody together as the tribe, that's where the colors come together, the rainbow of knowledge. And when I say rainbow, I had to throw in that little joke. No, I'm not talking about the LGBTTTIQQAAPP nonsense either. You know, that is a whole other part of the plan. That's another tentacle of the giant octopus that I was talking about. And once you can go outside and go, okay, 9/11's here, okay, to get us into the Middle East, okay. What about the Protocols of Zion? What do they say? Oh, quickly, if you haven't checked into that. See, like there's so many rabbit holes that correspond to different events. It's mind-blowing. And like Mark Passio says in the beginning of his shows, you know, I could find other things to do with my life that I'd like to do much more than doing this. But he says he has to do this because this is what people that know have to do. Our duty is to tell people what we know about the international Zionist movement, as Hitler called it. And, you know, you could trace it right back. The stuff that we're doing today, the stuff that they're trying to destroy us with, without firing a shot, confuse the sexes, replace education with filth and perversion, take control of the children through education, end the family unit and private property, call the useless eaters. That's what they were doing in the 20s and 30s, folks, in Hitler's Germany, when the first homosexual films came out, the first adultery films came out, the first films produced between 1870 and the 1920s, according to elders that lived there at the time. This is what they were doing. And Hitler was cleaning up shop. He said, no, we're kicking the Zionists out, the Freemasons out. We're not having anything to do with the Rothschilds. No, sorry. And it's been like life-changing events for me to see all this happen and to be able to trace, like, you know, their same attitude, their same, what's the word in English? Their same behavior, their same, the same patterns. This is what we're seeing all the time. I was watching a really good video called Hitler versus Rothschild, World War II in under 3 minutes. And what the maker of the video did was he just stated the most important life-changing events that took place. And you understand why Germany was blown to bits. So, you know, from Hitler's Germany, you go to, okay, the Oklahoma City bombing. Then you go to 9/11 as the lie to get them in the Middle East. And then the genocide of the seven countries in 5 years. And you can start this whole craziness by looking at just Hillary Clinton's face when she's talking about Gaddafi and what they did, right? And I call it the horrifying and murderous apathy that she has. Well, we came, we saw, he died, ha 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 ha, about Gaddafi and his Libya. Okay, think of Hitler and his Germany. Same thing. This is on CBS News, live. She's putting her arms up and she's laughing. Oh, how she looked like she's enjoying it. Okay? You get the same thing from Madeleine Albright, who exclaimed that the death of over 500,000 Iraqi children, oh, it would be worth it. Okay? And then Churchill's same take on this one country that posed such a great threat to the robber barons. It's easily researchable. So, to me, it's really easy to do what they're doing today. I mean, when they, I think it really surprised them, myself, how easy it was to wipe Germany right off the map. And you want to see a genocidalist in action? I've already talked about this before, in honor of John Stadmiller and his work on this, which I'd like to reflect, which I'd like to be a teacher of, you know, and a student of someday. It was never Hitler. Like, Hitler was a guy who couldn't even take a life to feed himself. He was a vegan. He was a painter. He was the front man of the National Socialist Party. The word Nazi didn't even exist for him. Okay? And there's James Baker, James Addison Baker, right? Secretary of State of the United States, saying, we painted Hitler as a monster and as a devil. That's why we couldn't move away from that portrayal after the war. We mobilized the masses against the devil incarnate. So we were forced to keep that satanic scenario after the war. We couldn't have possibly explained to our people that the war had just been, you know, a preventive economic measure, which is all that it was. These people, and I want to slide onto Churchill here because this is pretty gruesome, but it has to be said, you know, the genocidal maniac in person destroying culture after culture. You know, for us, okay, hang on a second. 7 countries in 5 years. Most of us can't even wrap our head around that. And most of us would get frustrated if somebody like me would say, sit down and say those names of those countries one after the other, you know, in meditation. Oh, come on, shut up. You know, no, we don't do that. But it's pretty important that we start doing it because it's getting closer and closer to our front doorstep. And when I say genocide and I use words like that, you'll see what I mean. Churchill in Pakistan in 1893, at a young age of 23, causing havoc. In Afghanistan, 1897, the Boers wars in Africa, early 1900s. Palestinians in 1917 are called, according to him, a lower manifestation. Okay. Iraq in the 1920s, talking about asphyxiating bombs for the turbulent, uncivilized tribes. Does that sound like a, does that ring a bell? Uncivilized tribes, okay? Savages, perhaps. Having a hand at the Bengal famine of 1943. Uh-huh. And he helps the authorities set up something called the Athens Massacre a year later, where some 20 protesters or more were murdered. And this is a quote from him. I do not want suggestions as to how we can disable the economy and machinery of war. I want some suggestions as to how we can roast the German refugees on their escape from Breslau. I do not understand this squeamishness about the use of gas. I'm strongly in favor of using gases against uncivilized tribes. There's that word again. Uncivilized tribes. Okay? Then in 1953, he declares Kenya, its fertile highlands should be only for white colonial settlers. And those we removed, they nicknamed them Blackamoors. So I think that short little essay that I just threw out there can help us really see who the tyrants are. And across the Atlantic, we get one Ike, David Eisenhower, Dwight Eisenhower, that says, God, I hate the Germans. You know, would anybody go on the radio and say, God, I hate what? Blacks? God, I hate Muslims? God, I hate the Germans? That's a quote from him, from Dwight Eisenhower. And we realize really quickly how easy it is to do away with those who oppose us. And I prepared a clip, if my producer could play this before the clip, before the break, I'm sorry. And this is really important to listen to because this is smack in the middle of one of our favorite movies. Let's have a listen.
The world is changing. Who now has the strength to stand against the armies of Isengard? and Mordor. To stand against the might of Sauron and Saruman and the union of the two towers. Together, my Lord Sauron, we shall rule this Middle-earth. The old world will burn in the fires of industry. The forests will fall. A new order will rise. We will drive the machine of war with the sword and the spear and the iron fist of the orc. We have only to remove those who oppose us.
See how easy that is? And that was, you know, written way back then. So I like the union of the two towers. That's pretty prophetic as well, the two towers. And then after that, there's Hellstorm that ensues. Anybody who can sit through that movie deserves a medal. You know, without getting sick to your stomach. Hellstorm, the movie, it's on my BitChute page. A total destruction of Germany. I counted 113 names of cities, towns, and villages that I read out loud with the backdrop of the Weimar Germany's Republic National Anthem of 1933. And this is what I think is the biggie for me. Like, they did away with Germany so quickly. Okay, so let's set our sights on Israel and its expansion. The Rothschild Preferiti, I like to say, because it's, you know, the bastard son of the Rothschild, born to them as a control arm. Just like their brother, the USA Inc., it's another one of those family colonies that do what they're told. The Greater Israel Project. Well, geez, from the Euphrates down to the Nile. Okay, so they really do have to exterminate the herds over there. But, you know, control takes its time. But not so fast. Let's play with new explosives first. You know, amid all the other false flags in America that everybody's getting, you know, fearful about and getting controlled over, here comes the Oklahoma City bombing. Indeed, as Ted Gunderson would call them, gaseous fuel devices, new explosives, new bombs, new technology, right? A barometric bomb, for short. And they even managed to kill the technician, too. The blast was so powerful in the testing. And you hear that it was a test run for 9/11 with new explosives, new devices. Satan and his devices. Isn't that in the Bible? I was talking about that last week. We know Satan's devices, but I was talking about cell phones in that one. So this is something they've been working on in Britain and in Israel, this 9/11, from what I can see from the 70s or before, with the Medusa Touch, the movie that comes down in 1978, about a 747 slamming into the Pan Am building in New York. Because they always have to tell us their intentions. They always do, and they always have, every time. Carefully planned for decades, 9/11 goes off without a hitch, killing over 3,000 Americans in the process and sickening scores of others. And what happens? Giuliani behaved so well. Wow, he gets selected to become Trump's lawyer. There you go. Get him out of there, right? Okay. So we take the crime of 9/11, and I'm quoting from directly from the link now, which is a very hard to find link, and we'll put it in the chat here on RBN. If anybody wants it, I'll give it to the producer, or you can just go to thelibertybeacon.com in the morning, and you'll see my article for this show, and you can ask me there, and I'll gladly answer any questions anybody has, and all you have to do is email me anyway. So there's two ways to get a hold of this. This is from the Rothschild family timeline. I wonder why you're having such a hard time trying to find it. And we'll go to the break after this, I presume. 2001, On September 11th, the attack on the World Trade Center is orchestrated by Israel with the complicity of Britain and America under orders of the Rothschilds as a pretext for removing the liberty of the people worldwide in exchange for security, just as happened with the Reichstag fire in Germany, where the citizens were lied to in order to give up their liberty for security. They will use these attacks to gain control of the few nations in the world that don't allow Rothschild central banks. Hitler didn't, in parentheses. And so less than a month after these attacks, guess what? U.S. forces attack Afghanistan, one of only seven nations in the world that don't have a Rothschild central-controlled bank. What does that sound like? And Rothschild, it's, you know, like an octopus going everywhere. And Hitler kicked them out very bluntly. And he did the same thing when Austria really started loving his ideas and what he was doing. He kicked them out of Austria as well. And Austria immediately recovered, as Germany did. These are really important things. So now, you know, now we have the crime of 9/11 in our faces. But it doesn't stop there, right? No. And I hear somebody going, okay, Luca, so what about the 9/11 memorial? What about the 9/11 memorial? As if the crime of 9/11 wasn't enough. What does Israel do? Well, on Rothschild orders, once again, of course, in order to keep their lying scheme, you know, and make sure that it's pulled off, they build the 9/11 memorial as a cover. Michael Arad, son of Israeli Moshe Arad, he's the architect. And then you see Netanyahu with one hand on the marble slabs, you know, with the names of the victims, signing autographs with passersby. I still can't wrap my head around that one. So they pull off 9/11, but they also build the memorial to keep the lie going. Oh, yeah. And then there's the fact that, you know, everything now is inside the education system. That too is making sure the lies are kept being retold and retold. How many times do you have to? That's what they do. Repetition is the best form of mind control, right? Where did I read that? And the curriculum, if you follow my meaning, is something like to literally turn your stomach, making you ill to the point of, you know, like these, like this meme of this very proud high school teacher. You know, she's proud of the books they have on sex ed for the children. And you can see the books in the background. This strong indoctrination of our children with sex and perversion at a younger age is consistent, completely consistent with the programming of the 9/11 narrative, presented exactly in the same fashion, because it comes from the same playbook. It's the Protocols of Zion. It's from the Protocols of Zion. So when we come back from the break, we will, I'm going to share from several articles. And I think it's a good time to go to the break now, is it? I'm talking to my producer there. See how he's set up. And we'll be right back. This is Luca's World, and you're listening to it live, and we're talking about 9/11 today and its consequences. We'll be right back.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Tear down the wall. I'm really glad to have that, because that's exactly what we have to do, and that's what the judge orders. Tear down the wall in front of your peers. Well, so we're being presented with a choice: either evolve or remain. Right? I love talking about that because it's so true. If we choose to remain unchanged, we will be presented with the same challenges, the same routine, the same storms, the same situation, until you learn how to love yourself, to say no more. And all of a sudden you choose change. And when you evolve, you connect with the strength inside you. You explore the lies outside your comfort zone. And you see everything. You have the strength to get to all that, to do what you can to awaken people. According to Jordan Maxwell, he says it pretty masterfully. He was asked, I don't have to say the question. You'll see what he says. For myself, no, I don't believe America or the world at large is going to be able to extricate itself from this situation, the New World Order agenda. No, I believe it is impossible. Why? Because the people are too stupid. They're too ill-informed, too ignorant, unread, self-centered, egotistical, materialistic, and downright stupid. And he says they don't care. Basically speaking, people don't care. And I thought, okay, well, that's one section of people. The other section of people are listening to RBN today, and, you know, you can't say that for them. So we're basically doing something very important. It's God's work, whatever you want to call it. This is telling the truth. And I found a really good meme today, too, that I wasn't going to talk about, but it's so fitting, because today we're talking about how, before the break, I was just going to talk about how everybody's being indoctrinated with the 9/11 lies. Jason Kristoff says, and I'm trying to read this, it's pretty small, it doesn't matter what rules you have for voter registration, or if there's an investigation into voter fraud, or if one misleader was corrupt and the next one will do better, you're still talking about an evil, tyrannical force that poisons, indoctrinates, and extorts you every day of your life. So according to him, he says, stop having discussions about who's going to extort, poison, and indoctrinate you. Start having discussions, or start having the strength to have discussions about how to remove government altogether from each facet of our society. Any discussion that revolves around keeping government guarantees you and your family will most likely not survive for the next 10 years. It's not rocket science. Government is a religion of misery, death, and dependency, and incarcerated human potential. Oh, incinerated human potential, even better. I said incarcerated. Same difference, right? So that's what I did with the 9/11 Commission. It's like, no, we're going to talk about who wrote it too, and give you a couple of hints on that. But I really want to share directly from an article at thelibertybeacon.com. It's called 9/11 Indoctrination Museum in New York City, The Urgency to Cement Narratives. And it really is true. The mission of the 9/11 Memorial Museum is firmly intertwined in the Department of Education standards, Common Core, for indoctrinating the populace as early as possible. They've developed a curriculum about 9/11 for grades K to 12. The message the 9/11 Memorial Museum communicates is, oh, the suffering, remember the suffering, be very afraid. Muslim extremism is the boogeyman. We must protect our freedom. Praise the heroes. Philip Zelikow, traitor and Israeli agent, executive director of the 9/11 Commission and primary author of the 9/11 Commission report. Zelikow's conflict of interest includes being a protege of Condoleezza Rice, who was a core member of the Bush administration. And Zelikow just happens to have written a university thesis entitled, quote, Creation and Preservation of Public Myth, unquote. Common Core curriculum is fully integrated into the 9/11 Memorial's museum's mission. Zionist museums are designed to reinforce particular narratives that steer the human journey in their favor, to cement the narrative as reality. This is what they're good at. So the interactive 9/11 lesson plans for students, grade 3 to 12, you know, that address the 9/11 attacks are ongoing repercussions. It's crazy. They're divided by grade level and themes, and you got like warning signs of the attack, or the evolving threat of terrorism, or what happened on 9/11. The featured lesson plan in big letters, you know, with local heroes, what a hero is, and how people can show gratitude to those who heroically act for their communities. You know, and when you go back to 9/11 also, if I may, right after the 9/11 event, man, were they ever quick in getting rid of the steel and the debris as well. From satellite images, I could even tell, you know, you see the barges waiting to be loaded up in the harbor, and the path that those trucks and the haulers took to drive the short route from the dock to fill the waiting barges. That same route was taken so many times, it's clearly visible from those same satellite images. And there's Colin Powell holding the anthrax vial. Remember, another lie. So General Wesley Clark, he says, about 10 days after 9/11, I saw Secretary Rumsfeld and Deputy Secretary Wolfowitz. One of the generals called me over and he said, we've made a decision. We're going to war with Iraq. And this is about the 20th of September. And I said, why? He said, I don't know. Okay, so he goes to see him a couple of weeks later. And by that time, they're bombing in Afghanistan. So he says, are we still going to war with Iraq? And the guy says, oh, it's worse than that. He says, no, we're going to take out 7 countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq, then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran. So I'm going to say, like I said earlier, have you ever read the names of those countries out loud, slowly? Just bombed to bits, right? Just like Germany, just completely devastated because they weren't Rothschild Central Bank accepting countries, right? Or nations. They wouldn't accept it. And you think, saying them out slowly, you know, all those ancient cultural treasures lost forever. I'm going to say them again, just because. Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and they're still working on Iran. They still are. Okay, so Obama drops well over 26,000 bombs in the Middle East, and he gets the Nobel Prize for Peace. And from the clip we just heard, we saw how easy it is to remove those who oppose us, which is what they are doing. And since they're already working on bioweapons, right, we have a patent for each one of those too: AIDS, H1N1, Ebola, swine flu, BSE, Zika, SARS, coronavirus, yeah. Those who are lucky enough to know Sherry Tenpenny or listen to her sometimes, she tells the story of how one of her distant clients one day was mentioning the great calling is at hand. And when she was asked to repeat that, it was like, what? Excuse me? The great calling of humanity, you know, how they say just nonchalantly between their sips of tea, the great calling of humanity has come. You know, obviously, this person doesn't think she's one of them, right? Very quickly, the numbers to call again. 512-248-8252 and 1-800-313-9443. Your chance to give a shout and tell us what you think. So it's just like back in the day, right? When one European country was lucky enough to have someone in leadership who could care enough about the people to kick out the robber barons and rebuild. But today, none of this can be seen. As a matter of fact, nothing but the opposite today. Everybody's lacking selfless courage, people who would give their life to fight the enemy for the tribe to survive. We see the contrary digging itself right in. You know, just as we stated earlier and on other shows as well, deliberately and strategically destroying their own people very slowly. That's what's happening in America today, from their energy sources to the border to the weaponizing of the weather, creating droughts and floods for over 70 years. The creation of shortages in every field of food and transportation. The very food we put on our plates. But all this is controlled. It's all orders of the puppet masters, and we know this. And I'd like people to really check out Holodomor, the crime many believe was used to be hidden behind the Holocaust, because the Holocaust is so much, you know, so much smaller than Holodomor. You're talking 20 million, 30 million people, depending on who you talk to, that were starved to death in Ukraine just because. And when you do all this work to figure all this out, you realize that it's polar opposite of everything that love does and that, you know, love is supposed to be. But the problem we're facing today I think, is that everybody's at different stages of consciousness. There's a certain stage that you reach when your intent is only to speak your truth and not to convince others of it. You start to realize that everyone has their own path. In other words, you can't convince a baby that he should be walking when he's at a stage of crawling, right? To convince him of that truth is irrelevant. So what do? You just surround yourself with the people that think like you and that want to learn about the stuff that you're interested in or share. That's all you can do. Jason Kristoff nails it again. He says, through monetary incentives in our employment and financial systems, evil is literally paying us and rewarding us to euthanize each other. It's that simple. So we're seeing it so much, and there's so much proof of it all. It's like the shadow of 9/11. Everything we see, you know, it's coming back to haunt us. Do you remember someone by the name of Dr. Liana Wen that was praised so highly in Canada? Uh-huh. There's an article on her on the Liberty Beacon. She says, masking has harmed our son's language development. So, you know, and I just happened to take a screenshot of her before when it was like, you know, wear a mask when you're making love, you know, use condoms, and, you know, really proud of herself. Good grief. We have Charlie from Los Angeles on the line for the first call. Charlie, welcome to Luca's World.
Yeah, Luca, nice to hear from you. You know, you were explaining how they were hauling the steel out to the port and getting it all shipped out so fast, because when they blew it up, all the steel was blew up in sections that would fit on these trucks. This thing was planned for years. And I'm with this other guy that called in on Baron. So I think this whole thing was totally empty that day. I don't believe 3,000 people died that day. Those buildings were from the first bombing in 1993. They were emptied out. People wouldn't even go back in those buildings to go to work. Do you remember the 93 bombing?
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so in order to get that thing emptied out as fast as they did, the whole thing was planned many years in advance. And to think that these firefighters, or Larry Silverstein, went on to build another tower after all these alleged firefighters had died that day. Really? They kill people for a lot less than that in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Larry Silverstein would have been murdered, there might be some, you know, believability that everybody died.
But what was it? He didn't.
That died, he never put vengeance against Larry Silverstein.
Yeah, and he didn't
gone
go
walking around New York.
The day of 9/11, he had what? A manicure appointment, was it? Right. The one time he doesn't go to breakfast, right? Yeah.
No. And so I really, the whole story is hard to, anything about that story is hard to believe. Don't believe anything until you can prove it, and it's all hard to prove.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people in those buildings that day, what about the person that was in charge of setting off the explosives? What? How would they know that he wouldn't get cold feet that day and say, "Oh, I can't do this"? You know, you only had one chance with 9/11 that day, and that was with the no plane theory, CGI. You know,
You have to stick with what you can prove. You said it yourself, so that's why I never got into it. You know, trying to prove the CGI, trying to prove the nuclear stuff, trying to prove, you know, no. Just go with what your heart tells you, and that's what you're going to be good at.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just, there's not a lot of human nature involved in this terrorist attack. You know, where's all the vengeance that would come from the families of the fire department on Larry Silverstein? You know, a lot of gunfighters were killed because their son rose up and killed the gunfighter who killed his daddy. There's just no human nature in this thing. It's just, you know, it's just a TV show. It's, they're just stories that they print off and tell the public. And so
yeah,
that's the way I agree with the other caller. And thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. It's theater. That's all it is. And it's really good to have you call. Thank you so much. And, you know, this is basically it. So when you're talking theater and you're talking stuff like that, that's what patriarchy really is. And I love to throw this in because I'm really working on matriarchy. I'm working on trying to become a better person myself. And the more you do that, the more you see that we're living in such a patriarchal environment. So what I love to tell people to do is like take a blank piece of paper, put a line right through the middle, right down the middle, make two columns. One says matriarchy and the other one says patriarchy. And you want to talk about complete opposites, just like the Lord of the Rings, complete opposites. You have love on one side, you have hate on the other. Feelings, apathy. Then you have compassion, which is a really important one. Guess what the opposite of that is? Indifference. They couldn't give, you know what? They don't. They couldn't give a hoot. Okay? Protecting nature and coexisting. Nope. Nature's a comedy. It's a commodity. Yeah, comedy. Yeah. It's a commodity. Might makes right. Oh, Lauren from Ohio is calling back. Welcome to Luca's World.
Hey, Luca. I just had to call on the 911 thing. William Rodriguez, he was the janitor for World Trade Tower. It was one or two. He was the one that went up and down the stairs because you couldn't get out unless they opened the door at the end of the hall. And the building came down on him. He dived under a truck. They gave him a PBS special. He had congressional testimony. The name of the movie that he did, The Last Man Out. William Rodriguez, and he was in the second floor sub-basement when there was an explosion below them, and they were pushed up off of the floor and then down. A man came running down the hall. He had been at the elevator trying to get the elevator, and the blast came up the elevator shaft, fried him, and is running down the hall saying, explosion, explosion, with his face burned up and his arms, the skin of his from his shoulders all the way down, holding on by his fingernails. As he's running down there to these 15 witnesses, he was down there with the staff, and they blew up underground. They blew up the water supply that would have put out the fire. They did that first. Then they heard the explosions at the top of the building. Whether there were planes or not, whether it was, you know, the String of Pearls nuke, that was later. But there actually were people there. There actually were people killed. Even in Building 7, there were people killed. The guy who was the... Remember the head guy who went back in there? There was hot coffee on the desks, and he called and said, where is everybody? They said, where are you? He said, I'm in Building 7. And they said, get out. And he and another guy, they tried to get out, but the interior of the building, the lobby had blown up, and they were like six floors up hanging from a staircase. The firemen came in and got them, told them to keep their eyes closed as they were removed from the building. But, of course, he looked, and he said there were bodies in there. And there were people that complained because they had their, you know, family members killed in there, and they were saying that there was nothing. So, you know, they paid them off and shut them up. But, no, there really were people killed, and we can't get into it like you were saying. Was it a string of pearls? Was it the laser technology? What happened? What happened? All we need to know is that the people who did it did it. Israel, criminals and traitors in the United States and Britain, point them out, name them by name. You've got CIA agents telling on them. You've got all kind of people telling on them. The information's out there. We just have to hold them to account. So,
yeah.
But I appreciate what you're doing, buddy.
Well, Lauren, let me give you two names. Kenneth Feinberg, Special Master 9/11 Compensation Fund, and his wife, executive of the United Israel Appeal of the Jewish Federation of Washington, Sheila Birnbaum. Okay, so if one guy doesn't get the family to accept the money, then they go to Sheila, right? It's, you know, yeah, I can throw names out there, too. Thanks so much for your call. That's very important. And we have another call to go to before the end of the show. Texas, Andy, you're on Luca's World.
Hey, Luca, thank you for taking my call. No, you're absolutely right. The things that you talked about, again, you can only prove or even, you know, whatever you've seen, what you understand, you can get it or whatnot. But the picture here is we shouldn't really spend an entire weekend speaking about how they did 9/11. We just know they did 9/11, and therefore the consequences that we're suffering now is what's coming from. So we should discuss, like you were in the show, we should always discuss what were the consequences of 9/11. I mean, who cares that if they use nanoparticles or a space beam or whatever? It doesn't matter. They did it, and it was all part of this master plan. It was leading up to COVID. It was leading up to all these different things that happened to us throughout the time. The thing that we really should focus on, in my opinion, is how in the hell do we get out of this situation? And I think it's imperative that people realize it's not going to be go down and protest at the Fed, go down and protest here, protest there. You end up protesting at a building. You don't protest at somebody specific. We need to find out who these people are, these players are, and we got to go get them. And I'm not advocating for violence. I'm just saying we got to go get them. Whatever that might mean to you, we got to go get them. We got to get them off the scene. Anyway, I'll let you go with that. You're ending the show. Have a good day, sir.
Thank you so much, and for respecting the timeline. I really appreciate beautiful words from both callers, actually three of them. It's an honor to speak with you guys, and girl. Sorry, Lauren. So what happens when you don't accept Rothschild as the central bank? Well, Saddam dropped the dollar. Gaddafi dropped the dollar. Assad dropped the dollar. The only guy who dropped the dollar that gave us the finger is Putin. So, you know, I really want to thank Christopher Bolin for, you know, I'm calling him the tireless researcher because that's what he does. He actually lived in Israel also. So he knows about the Likud. He knows the ropes. He knows the terrorist agendas. Christopher Bolin on his website, www.bolin.com, BOLLYN.com. It's thanks to him that I know a lot of this stuff. And he's the one who told me, listen, don't go into all these rabbit holes. That's what they want you to do. And 22 years later, you're still talking about it. No, go into the rabbit holes that you feel you're comfortable with. Find out what you can prove. Don't go listening to certain people. Stay away from these people. Stay away from that. You know, get some responsibility. And I even have Christopher Bolin's permission to share his stuff. So I'd love to make another show on this about what they did. Yes, I'd like to talk about the technical engineering of this. It's colossal. Thank you so much for listening to Luca's World, and this is already the end. We'll see you next week.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.